Hi, listening friend. It's Tuesday, June 12, 2012, and for those of you tuned in yesterday, I know you're back to hear part two of my conversation and the testimony of entrepreneur extraordinaire, Champaign's very own Sean Williams. As mentioned yesterday, he came to the home studio a few days ago, and we recorded about a 40-minute conversation, and so I broke it into yesterday's program, and then you'll hear the conclusion today. Also yesterday, I read the whole story that was featured on the front page of the Living section of Sunday, May 27th's News Gazette. It was a powerful story, so if you missed yesterday's broadcast, stop by greatnewsradio.org and go to the archive programs page and look for Sean Williams and click on yesterday's program. You will be blessed, encouraged, amazed, challenged, enlightened, fortified, and stretched by his testimony and sharing on all the things he had to struggle through, cope with, deal with, and yet through some of those refining fires, God has turned Sean into the successful man that he is today. So yesterday he was just closing out giving credit to his mom, Rolene Brumfield, and referencing a Miss Essie. Let me also mention I'm going to preempt SRN News after the end of this program to fit in my whole conversation with Sean. I don't think I've ever done that in the many years of morning programs, but I wanted you to have the full entire story. So we'll pick up right where we left off yesterday.
You're really maybe the exception. You're a living example of somebody that has persevered, somebody that God has kind of orchestrated around certain circumstances, disappointments, heartaches. Many of us can't even imagine what it would be like to have brothers and sisters under various circumstances that you've lived through, not only taking their own lives, but being incarcerated. And did you walk with God from an early age where there's times where you turned your back on God? Like, what got you to this point? What do you attribute where you're at today? Was it a combination of things? Was it 3 steps forward, 2 steps back? Was it walking closely with God, then turning away from Him? Was it the consistency of being in His Word? I mean, really, you're a living testimony. Like I said, you're a personal hero of mine. I'm so amazed at what you've overcome, and you're still young. You're 42, I think.
Just turned 43.
43. Oh, happy birthday and congratulations.
Yeah, you know, Mark, as I look back, I mean, and I don't really tell my story that much. And so as I think about some of the things, because I'm such a forward mover, that I don't think about the things behind too much, you know, because I'm trying to study, move forward. But I'm literally fighting back the tears now, thinking as you keep taking me back. I would contribute those things to maybe a combination of people, combination of things, you know, that helped me shake it off, dust that off, and fail and you got up. I would probably say definitely my mom. I mean, definitely my mom. You know, she raised 8 of us on that side of the family, and she never really, we really never had a dad that was in the household. And so, I mean, she was that big person in the family that kind of held us together through all the stuff that was going on. You know, we reference back to my brother James and that traumaticness that happened that particular day that we witnessed as kids. I remember her hustling us out of the house that day and getting me to my sister's house and then taking us to a movie. And that was around the same time that Car Wash, that movie Car Wash came out. And that was a movie that we went and saw. And it was just to take that away from us that particular day, and because we couldn't understand.
Right. And you were 6 at the time.
6 at the time, and so my other brothers and sisters were a little older, and it was around Christmas. So you know that was, you know, sometimes Christmas just don't go the way it's supposed to go. And so I thank the Lord for my mom. I thank the Lord for Essie Shepherd, a older neighbor. I adopted her as like a grandmother to me. And I remember, and one of the things I think about when I think about Miss Essie is she used to have me crocheting. And so I would see how fast I can go through a skein of yarn, making a afghan with her. But that was the Lord building up hand and eye coordination, because He knew that I was meant out to be a barber. And so I was getting hand and eye coordination tips then. So sometimes we're doing some things and we don't know why we're doing them, but God knows why you're doing them, and He's building you up for where you need to be at. And so what I would tell people is just go through, be the best at it where you're at right now. And what Bishop Gwynn always says is be a good worker. So when you become the boss, then you have good workers under you. But if you're complaining the whole way, then don't get mad when people are complaining when you're the boss.
Now, you've been through a lot, and I'm thinking a lot of our listeners may be at points in their lives where they're discouraged, or they just feel the odds are against them, or they feel like life's not treating them fair, and yet you made it through. Like you said, you had neighbors, you had your mom, you had other people speaking truth into your life or guiding you, but you also knew about those that were the dream busters, those that criticized you, those that verbalized and said, you're not going to make it. Like this one Urbana principal and teacher, basically you quoted him and he said, you're least likely to succeed. Was there an inner drive in you that just said, I'm going to prove everyone wrong? Or did you buy into that for a while till people started saying, no, Sean, you're gifted? And did the military have an influence in that?
I bought into it. Mm-hmm. I bought into it, and I just kind of went with the flow, just trying to feel my way through, you know, kind of just feeling my way through. And it kind of went with that because my climate said that, and the people around me said that. And so I remember the military experience, and I remember we were at the range and we were trying to qualify at the range, and you had to get 40 shots. That was expert. And I think you had to get like a 23 or 27 to make it through that course. And I got a 23. And I remember it was like 300 troops walking in front of us, and it was about 50 of us that didn't qualify that day. So we had to walk on post, and we had to yell to the top of our lungs, left, right, bolo, left, right, bolo. And I remember getting so upset that day. I sat in that room, in that bay room, and I read that CTT manual, and I said, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it right tomorrow. And I remember getting 38 out of 40 that next day. Mm. And then the drill sergeant, and I get choked up now. The drill sergeant gave me so much praise. He built me up so much after that and let me know that you can make it. Mm-hmm. You can make it. Mm-hmm. And so it's those experiences. Mm-hmm. Once you get tore down, you need those people to build you back up, mm-hmm. to say you can make it. You can do it. Mm-hmm. And so and that was one of those experiences. That was those life altering moments. Mm-hmm. So I don't let anything tell me that you can't make it. Mm-hmm. You can tell me a million reasons why I can't make it. Mm-hmm. Give me one reason why I can. Tell me one way, mm-hmm. one way, one reason. Mm-hmm. I've got turned down on loans before. I've lost relationships before. I lost a job one time down in Atlanta. Lost my whole family behind that job. But the Lord sent me back my family. Mm-hmm. You know, and so when you think things are going left, it might make a right and it mm-hmm. make a bank back the other way. And so I remember, and that's my story. And that, mm-hmm. and I thank the Lord for it. I thank the Lord. I'm not mad at that teacher. Mm-hmm. I thank the Lord for that teacher mm-hmm. that built me up where I am.
Well, you've taken that biblical mandate that in all things God can work for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Yeah, and God yeah. certainly has a calling on your yeah. life. But I'm thinking of two things. One, the importance of speaking positive words and reinforcing people. So that's almost a principle you're saying, listener, you can have a profound impact in that young man, that young boy, that young girl's life, or that adult. We all need encouragement. So you're kind of saying, people, you don't know how important it can transform somebody's life by encouraging them. And yet also you're saying to that person that's maybe discouraged or feels like life is not treating them fairly, that they need to push through, they need to keep trying, they need to, as you many times, you prayed to God. So tell us a little about that faith journey, because it seems like it's been evolving. It's been, like for all of us, a sanctifying process where it's like the Lord refines us, we walk closely with him, then maybe we get full of ourselves or we get self-centered or we yeah. all have the tendency, we sin. I mean, none yeah. of us just start out right. and then finish well. There's those hurdles, those climbs, those times when maybe we turn our back on God. And it seems like you've kind of had a groundwork of going to church or knowing God early on, and yet because of life circumstances, it wasn't always passionate following him faithfully.
Yeah, I remember taking some guys to the Sweet 16 when Illinois went to the Sweet 16 down in Atlanta, and we were about to go out to a party, and it was about 20 of us, and we were in the parking lot of the parking lot, and these guys had been drinking and a whole bunch of other things, and I took them out, and I said, hey, look, let's get out the cars, let's pray. And they, well, what are you talking about, Sean? Pray. We're finna go to the club. And I said, look, in everything you do, you got to add God into it. And I don't care if it's the club. I don't care where you're going. You know, when that's my daily prayer. Everything I touch, let it be blessed. Every person I go to, let me be a blessing to them. You know, and so I started going to church when I was 12 years old. I walked past a church and right down the street from my house, and I seen a lot of young people. And what are you guys doing? And they said, well, we're going to choir rehearsal. And I said, choir rehearsal? What are you guys doing choir rehearsal? Mm. And I went in and I kind of listened to some songs. And the guy that he was playing the organ name was Clarence. And he said, man, get over on the drums over there. And I didn't know anything about the drums. And I started pecking away. And then I picked up a skill in being a drummer. And so that's what started me going to church. Uh-huh. And I remember trying to lay back one Sunday and say, hey, I'm not going to church. And my mom said, yeah, you are. You're going to get out of here. And I started and she made me finish. Mm. And so I thank the Lord for it, you know, because after a few years after what happened to Jane, we weren't a church going family. Mm-hmm. But after then, something said, hey, go to that church. And I'm glad the Lord directed my path that day to go to that church. And ever since, I've added church to my repertoire every day. Mm-hmm.
I know you've referenced a few times Pastor Gwynn, a man that preaches God's word, and I've seen him at a number of different events, and it's always a great occasion when I can meet up with him and First Lady Mary,
oh,
and
yeah.
I love hugging on those two, and
yeah.
He's always radiating God's love and joy, and I haven't met Pastor Johnson, but it seems like God's using both these pastors and those church families to speak truth and build character into your life. And what would you say to that person? And that's like, well, Sean, I am kind of amazed. I read that article in the News Gazette on Sunday, May 27th, and was just encouraged and inspired. But this whole God element, I don't know if God's for me. I don't want to be one of those religious people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
What would you say to them?
You didn't get here on your own, and it's always something that's bigger. So sometimes I talk to some of my people that might be Muslim or might be something else, but it's always something bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can just put that, something, notice that something's bigger than you, because you got to have faith into something.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, some of my family's in the funeral home business. Some of my families, they go to, they're hurt and they're injured, and they go to the liquor store to, mm-hmm. for the therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might, well, some other people might reference to God and might mm-hmm. go biblical and might go into their own closet space and their own peaceful place. And so I sometimes I have to do that even myself, and I go into a peaceful place. And so for me, it's God. For you, it might not be God, mm-hmm. but for me, it's God.
And you have a very unique, and I'm going to encourage our prayer warriors. We have, as I mentioned to you, Sean, off air, we have a lot of senior saints and,
yeah.
and veteran, if you will, churchgoers, people that have been following the Lord Jesus for many years. But I think you have this very unique and strategic role in the African American community because of the people that come to your barbershop that participate through various means in the memorial services, because you, through Williams Memorial Service, you organize that and work that through. You sell insurance, but you get to be kind of one of those living examples of a follower of Jesus, and yet you do have people from all faiths, all walks of life, varying life experiences. And so as you kind of develop as a good listener, as you get to kind of connect with them, you know, maybe it's just not giving them the whole gospel story right there when they're sitting in your chair. It's just wooing them into that, find that safe place, find that person bigger than yourself, you know, draw on God's strength. I think many times you could probably easily say, draw on God. He's out there. He cares for you. So have you seen some of those opportunities when they've been in that barber chair of yours? They're kind of a captive audience for
Man,
a while.
I love that barbershop environment, that barbershop experience, because we have so many different guys that come through and young ladies with kids, and kids come through. But it's a time to share, and it's to kind of listen to other people's story and kind of hear what they're going through. So I love the barbershop because we just talk about an array of different things. And some guys talk about sports, and I really don't focus on sports and things of that nature. I helped put like 5 guys in the NBA and like 3 guys in the NFL. So, mm-hmm. you know, through that chair and mm-hmm. through that and coaching those guys and hey, you can make it, and telling Jarens. I remember one day listening to WDWS and so many times, you know, as being adults, we don't look at those guys as kids, but you know how you can be a dream buster,
mm-hmm.
and you can say some mean things over the air and over the radio. And I remember one time a person saying something about Corey Bradford one day. Hey, you know, Corey couldn't throw a rock in the ocean, and at that time he was having a slump, and he had went down in his 3-point shooting. And I remember one of the guys that one of the street guys. I mean, he's not somebody prominent or professional. He just loved Corey because Corey came to the neighborhood,
mm.
and he called 1400. He said, hey, look, he said, you guys be careful what you say, because you guys can hurt people's feelings.
Mm.
And I remember Corey listening to that and walking in the bathroom and then coming back. But it was a dream buster moment. And I said, Corey, don't worry about that.
Mm.
You know, don't worry about that. And so many times we put these guys on such a pedestal,
yeah.
because they're playing for the University of Illinois. But these are kids.
Right.
And they have a heart, too. And I remember talking to Jarens, and guys talked about him and said, Jarens, you don't even get any playing time. I can beat you now myself, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I and Jarence, and kind of got him down. I said, Jarence, I said, it's more ways to skin a cat than just that way. You don't have to be a player. You can get there by coaching. And his eyes kind of lit up. Mm-hmm. And look at him years later. He's one of the top recruitment coaches in the country now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, by uplifting those stories to uplift young people, and that's who I am, and that's my chemical makeup, and I thank the Lord for it.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been exposed to this teaching, and it's one of my favorite topics and favorite verses. It's out of Colossians. It's, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, is working for the Lord, not for men. And that whatever you do, in your case, you know, being a barber, overseeing the Williams Memorial Service, or selling insurance, that all those endeavors, all those outlets, all those things that you participate in, whatever you do, if you work at it with all your heart and you are a man full of passion and drive and commitment, you work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So, Lord, like, I pray for all those people that are going to be in my chair today. I pray for all the opportunities to point them to you, whether it's very directly or through a suggestion or having them take baby steps. Or, Lord, as I arrange this memorial service for this family, they're grieving. Seemingly, it doesn't appear like they know you. Help me honor them. Help me bring a measure of peace, of steadfastness. Help me be your vehicle to give them hope or direction. Or when you sell insurance and provide the service to people, because I think through the story, you know, I learned that as you were doing these memorial services, you're finding a lot of these people don't have insurance, and this is something that could really help them with their costs. So, Lord, give me wisdom, give me insight. And what do? You go out, you study, you get tested, and then you get certified. And it's like, I love that about you, that you initiate, that you don't just wallow in some negativity of somebody putting you down or saying you're not going to make it. Thank you, God, that God's given you that wherewithal to move forward, to move beyond, to be driven, if you will. And then I love how this article and some of your testimony, you're testifying that God has been there for me, God has done it. And you're 43 now, but you have so much more of life to live. And it's like, my prayer, and I think how I started this whole thing is I was telling our radio listening audience to be praying for you, because you have a very strategic role. I also know you're involved in the Champaign City Council. Yes. I mean, I know you attend various meetings. In case you just tuned in, I'm looking at the News Gazette, Sunday, May 27th, Living Edition. The whole front page is devoted to Sean Williams' story. And then as you turn it over to the back side, there's more photographs. And here's one of the captions, Sean Williams Center walks into Church of the Living God with, from left, Urbana Police Chief Pat Connolly, Champaign Police Chief Anthony Cobb, Champaign City Councilman Will Kiles, Champaign School Board Member James Brown, State Senator Mike Fredericks, and Champaign Mayor Don Gerald on a recent Sunday. And so it's like, gosh, you're with the Shakers and Movers, and where do you find time to do all the things you're doing? And you're involved with a summer youth program, and who even knows what other things you're doing?
You know, I stay busy. I stay busy, and that's what keeps me. You know, the devil is, I always know that the devil's out there to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you have time on your hands, and so I don't allow myself to be around too much negativity. I don't hang at guys' house. You know, a lot of guys hang at other guys' house, watch the game and things like that. I don't spend a lot of time doing that. I spend a lot of time trying to give back. And so I called those guys, and that Jamar Brown, that's my nephew, and he's a protege of mine. And so when other guys were trying to get him to gang bang and things of that nature, you know, we don't do gangs, you know. And so I kind of stayed on him about that. And I'm really proud of him, a young man that came up. And I mean, he's a living testimony himself, because my sister had him at 16 years old. But mom said, hey, you know, it was a mistake, but don't worry about it. It's not a mistake. It's going to be joy. And we're going to raise this young man. And we all pitched in as a family to raise him. And so I'm very proud of him being on the school board. Pat Connolly, I met him in some meetings that we had. And great man, great passion for community. Anthony Cobb, great young man. I was on that search committee for the new chief, and I thought that he would. And I talked to the city manager, and I was really an advocate for Anthony, because I knew he could build that relationship. I was so sick of bad relations with the black community and the city of Champaign and the police. Well, let's solve that. And I was adamant about, let's get that taken care of, because I'm not a whiner. minor, you know, and as me being a leader and representing the African-American community for Champaign, I don't want us to be winders. Mm-hmm. I want us to be able to shake it off, because it's with the technology that we have today and the things that our foreparents have went through. I mean, when my mom talks about trying to walk to the schoolhouse, I mean, and she walked 7, 8, 9 miles just to read a book. Here we are, and we have a bus that pick us up literally in front of the house, and we don't go. And that bothers me. And so, I mean, and I, Senator Farrick's great guy. I mean, great guy. And Will Kiles, I mean, he's Republican. And so many times we're against Republicans and we're against Democrats. And me, I'm just for whoever's right.
Right.
I'm for whoever's right. Whoever's godly, whoever has some right principles, whoever's trying to help us out, and the best man for the job wins. And so, I wanted a game changer picture, and I think that the photographer, he was able to capture a game changer picture of just great men working together to help people.
Well, it seems by your right wrist that you are a player, that you're involved in a number of things. Share a little in our closing couple minutes here. What's on your wrists and what some of those stand for?
You know, I'll share this particular one. First one is the Church of the Living God. And we was given those because we had a building fund and we're trying to build a bigger church over there. And then this other one is a children's mental health. We're going through this era of we're promoting mental health and mental health awareness for young people. And so many times, you know, me at the age of 6, I could have been there needing some assistance with mental health. And we do a lot of aftercare with the funeral home. We're not just a funeral home to just get your money. And so many times as businesses nowadays, we're there to just get your money. We do pre-planning and we do aftercare with families. And so we do mental health and we talk to families, console families afterwards, and we call families back up. But the other one I have on there, and it was a young guy that had a program going with a youth, and it's called, it says Drive Team Lead for Life, and that was his program, Choices and Dreams. And so many times we have dreams but we don't act on them, and so I keep that there so I can continue to just remember that. And another one says, I'm a Where Are You? And so and it's just a few little reminder things to just have. And I think I'm starting a trend, because a lot of younger guys, they watch our steps and they're picking up these bracelets. And I'd rather them pick up some bracelets and pull their pants up and things of that nature.
I was at the mall the other day, and I marveled at some of the outfits, and I was like, wow, how do they even keep them on? They're so low.
Oh man, I'm telling my mom, don't say anything. These young people are new people. You can't say things. She said, I'm going to say it anyway. Okay, say it. Yeah. And I thank the Lord that I'm so well known within the community that I just get, I mean, I remember walking my dog from one end of a town to the Urbana. It was just becoming summer and so many barbecues were going on, and it literally brought me to tears, the amount of people that say, hey, Sean, hi, Sean. And the amount of people that ask me, hey, you're hungry? You know, we're barbecuing. You come back. And, you know, and that's just coming from just, you know, it's not money to me. It's about seeing some other person happy. And I want to see other people happy also. I don't want to be the lonesome person that's in a community that's on top. And that's not a goal for me. The goal for me is to see young people being successful.
Sean, say somebody, whether they want to get their hair cut, they want some advice or counsel or insight into putting together their memorial service, or somebody that they know that maybe is going through a difficult time and needs to start planning for the future, or whether it's some kind of term insurance or life policy, I don't know all the insurance, how would they get a hold of you, or what's the best? Is there like 3 different numbers for them to call, or how does that all work?
You know, you can. I have a 24-hour day answering service, so you can always reach me at 351-8115, area code 217-351-8115, or you can reach me directly through my email, Sean, S-E-O-N, Williams, _217@yahoo.com. That's my email address. I'm always there. I'm constantly trying to lead people, you know, with the downfall of the Urban League and the restructuring of the NAACP. My barbershop has filled in that gap, and so people always call me, ask me to direct them whichever way they need to go, whether it's legal advice, whether if it's some type of help, community job, something of that nature. So I'm always there. And so if any of you listeners out there that need some help or on anything, even with funeral services, we started doing 27 funerals and 17 of our families didn't have insurance. So that's what led us into the insurance business, to find out what is going on. And that is just too tough of a time to be going through, to be worried about a bill.
Right.
And so we really try to meet families where they're at. And so we're meeting families where we're at. Sometimes our bar is kind of high, but we lower it down to meet families, because not everybody have it. Mm-hmm. So Thank you very much, Mark. And
yes, Sean, thanks so much for coming out to the home studio and being with me. And I love that this article has been featured on the front page of the News Gazette. Thanks to Phil Johnson and the News Gazette for putting this together. Sean, if there was one thing you would want to leave with our listener, or one tip of advice or a point of counsel, what would you say or share?
Man, always dream high. Set the standards high for yourself. And don't worry about the sideline rattles that's going on in your ear. Set that bar high and strive high. And always try to make somebody proud. Make God proud. And I've always wanted to make somebody proud.
Amen. I say many times on the air, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. So no matter what your circumstance, no matter what your background, no matter how much sin or disappointment or failure you've had in your past, God is a God of new beginnings, new starts, and he wants to work in and through you. What a privilege we have. And I would pray that our radio listening family would hold you up in prayer, Sean.
Please.
You and your wife, Tanya, you're on the front lines. You have a very unique opportunity to witness, to testify to his goodness, and to be used of him. So may God's blessings continue to rest on you and your many businesses, your various endeavors, your desire to work with youth, to be active in the community, and to lead these organizations. And may God continue to work in and through you and bless you. So thanks for being available.
Thank you, sir.
Isn't it amazing how God can work in and through anyone that's a willing vessel, no matter the circumstances, no matter the background, no matter the heartache, the disappointment, the challenges? God is a good God, and it's because of his character that we can cling to him and fight through those hard times. Thank you, Sean Williams, for sharing and being transparent. Thank you, Sean's mom, Rolene Brumfield, raising those kids to lean on the Lord, to be involved in church, and to trust in him. Thank you, Tanya, for standing by Sean these many years and being his helpmeet and companion. And thank you, God, for a testimony that points how you don't give up on anyone. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.